We're talking about the role of medicinal plants in healing, focusing on herbal remedies here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So let's acknowledge Native American herbal wisdom. Native peoples were the first to discover the healing properties of many of the medicinal herbs native to North America that we've come to know. Think echinacea, witch hazel, black or blue cohosh. Have you found health benefits from herbs? Do you grow herbs in your garden to use for medicinal purposes? It's 800-642-1234. Jane Holly Stevens owns Four Elements Organic Herbals. It's a 130-acre farm and apothecary in North Freedom in South Central Wisconsin. Jane, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm really happy to be here this morning.
Well, take us on a tour of your farm. Give us an introduction to what you're growing.
Okay, well, if I was giving a tour on my farm, which I have two lined up on July 1st and August 7th, but what I do is first tell a little bit of background of the farm, which my husband David and I have been here for about 30 years now, and we've been certified organic right from the beginning. And first thing is I take people through my chakra garden, which this year I'm switching it over to a garden based on the planets, because I've been studying gardening by the moon and recently took a bunch of classes during COVID, just learning about the connections between the plants, the planets, and, you know, all those beautiful partnerships that we're all, how we're all connected. So I would tour people through that garden, which correlates how the plants work within the different body systems guided by the planets now. Hmm. And then we would go into the fields, which are, these are the production fields that we use, most of the plants that go into our products. So there are rows and rows of herbs. Some are native, some are naturalized but cultivated in our fields, and we have beautiful European herbs such as lavender, thyme, and sage, and anyway, it's just pretty exciting, and it's definitely a scratch and sniff garden, so I always encourage people to be grabbing things and sniffing them. It's just part of the experience.
Oh, I love hearing that, because, you know, that's the what I gravitate to with my herbs is just handling them and squeezing them and putting them to my nose and just like with this big inhale of lavender. You can't go wrong.
I know. You can just tell those plants are here to support us on our healing path, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, part of your farm is in production. Another part is woodland or in woods. Can you kind of tell us just the topography you have there?
Well, we are so blessed to be in the Baraboo Bluffs. And so we have cultivated fields, so we're really lucky. We're on the top of the bluff so that we have some flat fields. And it was so beautiful when I moved here. There was actually, on this two-mile road, there was two organic farms on either side of me. I mean, that was just like a sign I was meant to be here. And so they were able to tell me which fields had less rocks that were, you know, there's a gentleman who was born and raised in the house down on the western side of the road, and he could tell me which places were flat enough and without the rocks to plant. And so we have this nice cultivated fields, and then David has been kind of filling in one area with more trees, kind of reclaiming, maybe it's kind of used to be grazed or something, but we do have a spot pasture for cows, and then we have some hay fields that our local organic dairy come and cut the hay. And, but that field, it's so beautiful because we have this rare bird called the bobolink that lives there. And the reason the bobolink lives there is because we only cut our hay once a year. The bobolink young fledge right around the 4th of July, so we can't cut the hay until that time. And so we have this great field that we let grow up and let the bobolink's young thrive there. And then we cut it after the 4th of July. And then if you continue, you can go into the woods. And from there, we're on the bluff, so then the nice rock ledge, you know, starts going down, down, down.
Oh, breathtaking.
Yeah, and that we do have a maple syrup camp out there.
For good measure, right? I mean, your farm is so connected to the earth.
Well, I just like to think we're all connected to the earth, and it's my job to help connect people back to the earth. It's so important that we, you know, that, well, anyway, I just want people to be the best earth stewards they can, and that's why I have products and land and tours to help make that connection for people.
If you're just joining us, we have Jane Holly Stevens as we discuss herbal remedies this hour. She's an organic farmer in North Freedom, which is northwest of Madison. We're hearing about her farm and its production. You can join in. Have you found health benefits from herbs like lemon balm, sage, chamomile, echinacea, another herb? Join in 800-642-1234. Jane, I don't even know which herb to start with. I mean, there are so many, and I'm sure, why don't we just start with your favorite?
Okay, well, first of all, I'd just like to say that I'm not a doctor, and I cannot claim to treat, mitigate, or cure any diseases with these plants. It's especially important because I make herbal products, and I cannot make any claims per FDA rulings, and so I just have to kind of dance around with my language here.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite herb, I have to say, is lemon balm, the beautiful Melissa officinalis. So whenever a plant has the species name officinalis, that means it was in the official pharmacy back in the 1700s when Linnaeus named the plants. All the plants that have the species officinalis or officinale, those were in the official, known as the official pharmaceutical plants. So here we have Melissa officinalis, and Melissa comes from how the bees love it.
Hmm.
And I like it if I'm having a day that's tense or if I'm feeling anxious. I love to have it in a tea most of all, but it is possible to make it into a tincture as well.
And a tincture is this like solution, you know, a medicinal substance. The base might be alcohol or water. How do you make your tinctures?
So tinctures are made by collecting the herbs at their peak potency, which that is right as the if you're picking the leaf portion or the herb, just as it's coming into flower is when the plants are at their peak potency. So, but you can pick them anytime. They say the best time to pick a herb is as it's coming into flower, after 10, after the dew has dried, but before noon, before the sun has volatilized off the qualities. And the second best time to pick a herb is when you are there and the plant is there. So, I mean, I just pick these herbs every day that there are herbs out there. To make a tea, you boil your water, and for me, I just put the herbs in a canning jar, loosely packed, and then pour boiling water over them, seal it, and let it steep 10 minutes. But if you want the minerals, you should let it steep for several hours. So what I usually do is, because I want a cup of tea right then, I'll pour the boiling water over the herb, let it steep for about 10 minutes, have a cup, you know, and drink that for a while, and then I'll pour boiling water over it again and let it steep overnight and have some the next day as well. So a tea is more of a water infusion,
mm-hmm.
and a tincture is an alcohol extraction. So so you can use anything 80 to 100 proof. It's good to grind up your herbs or chop them so you get more surface contact with the alcohol, and you can... You know, the folk method would be to pack herbs in a jar, pour your alcohol over that, seal it, shake it every day, and wait 2 weeks to a month or so, and then you can strain that off.
And how would you use that tincture?
Well, Americans love tinctures because they're so accessible. You've already extracted your herbs, and you can pour them in little bottles and carry them with you. You don't have to boil water if you're on the road. So I just use them by the dropper full. Usually if you buy, you know, purchase pre-made tinctures, they come in little dropper bottles with dropper pipettes. And I usually just take about two droppers full at a time.
Mm. We have farmer Jane Holly Stevens, been growing organic herbs, marketing herbal products in Wisconsin for over three decades. Do you practice holistic medicine and wellness? What type of supplements or herbs do you prescribe? Have you used medicinal herbs for chronic pain? What's been the outcome? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jane Holly Stevens on the Ideas Network. We're exploring herbs, how to use them in our lives. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. My herb garden is one of the best parts of summer. All that fresh basil, the rosemary, the lavender, the sage, thyme, parsley, cilantro, and oh my goodness, that fabulous mint. We're exploring the healing properties of herbal remedies. Do you use herbs to boost your immune system, to help with pain, to soothe you to sleep? Which ones do you use? What's worked? What questions do you have about how to use herbs for ailments? Join in 800-642-1234. Jane Holly Stevens is an organic farmer who sells herbs grown on her 130-acre farm in North Freedom, and she's with us for the hour. Jane, we're hearing from Melissa in Cedarburg, emailed us this morning, and Melissa says that they purchased several products from your four elements, and Melissa says their favorite is anise hyssop, and they make tea with it throughout the year. Can you explain what this herb does?
Well, a lot of plants in the mint family, I love the way you introduced mint, by the way, Kate. That's great. I feel your joy. So a lot of plants in the mint family have great constituents and volatile oils. So, you know, when you pinch a mint or a basil or anise hyssop is similar, they release their volatile oils. And having volatile oils in these plants, say all of these are in the mint family, Lamaceae, and they're rich in, mostly, most of them are very rich in essential oils, and those essential oils, when you blend them in a tea, this is why it's important to cap your tea so they don't volatilize away. But they can help have a productive digestive system, help to support healthy digestion, help to support, if you have any, you know, problems with digestion, basically, that's the main use. But I think the joy should be recognized, too, just the scent of the herbs and, you know, the whole process of growing herbs. They're beautiful. I've once heard that beauty is the most powerful force in the universe. And, you know, I could hear that joy and appreciation in your voice as you were talking about your garden. And so, you know, the aspect of how these plants bring us joy can't be, should be mentioned.
I didn't mean to jump in there, but I'm so curious about your lavender catnip body spray. Can you tell us about what you have going on there?
Well, for one thing, you know, if I wanted to call a product an insect repellent, I would have to go through the regulatory agency. Mm-hmm. It's pest, alcohol, and tobacco or something. But we make this outdoor body spray with plants that have been proven to help repel or, you know, help to get keep you away from insects. So they found there was double-blind studies that showed that catnip was actually one of the best plants for if you're going into mosquito-y areas. So that's why. And then, again, all those volatile oils help to keep you free from pests.
I wonder what those cats that you have at home do around that body spray.
Yeah, it's so interesting. They don't react like they do to the plant at all. That's the most logical question. You know, you would expect that they would react to that spray, but it's just different. Even though I have the whole plant infused in there and some essential oil, they just don't react like you might expect.
Let's go to Jane now in Suamico. Jane, hi.
Hello. I am hoping that your guest can help us find someone who can make a burn balm that we love. And it's made from lots of different herbs like St. John's wort oil, beeswax, comfrey, echinacea, myrrh, lobelia, all kinds of herbs. And my husband is an artist blacksmith, so he knows burns. And this stuff is so good. So we're looking for somebody who might help us make this balm because the fellow who made it for us is gone and we don't know how to reach him.
Well, I'd like to say that there are so many plants that help to support a healthy skin response to those situations. And there are, you know, a lot of great herbalists around. And if you check, I'm sure you would find something equally, successful. It's so great because there have been plants put all over this world in all different cultures and all different continents that do the same thing to help, you know, I just say heal. And so, I think you could find something that might not have every one of those ingredients. And another thing you could do, so the St. John's wort is just about, it just started to bloom. In fact, St. John's Day is June 24th, David and my wedding anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah, and so it's easy to find St. John's wort. And that is a classic for the issues you're speaking of. So you can make your own by going out in nature, and these would be found in some dry areas. And Europe, where my parents were born, around Shawano. So I know it's sandy around there, and so I'm sure you could find St. John's wort. And if you just cut off the flowering tops and stuff those in a jar and pour an oil, you can use a heavier oil like olive oil if you want it to feel thick on your skin, or you can make a lighter oil such as sunflower oil, and you have a producer right there in Pulaski, Century Sun Farms. And anyway, you can just pour oil over a jar of St. John's wort flowers, and I think you would get really close to what you're looking for just by you making your own with that one plant.
Jane, what do you think?
Interesting. Well, we'll give it a try.
Thank you, Jane. So, Jane, I'm wondering, you know, when you mention echinacea, can you explain what that is used for?
Well, people use it to support a healthy immune response. And this can be used topically or internally. You know, we often, and things are used internally so much, we often forget about the topical use. In fact, our native indigenous tribes called it snake bite root because they found it so effective for venomous snake bites topically. So one thing about it has an astringent quality, and one thing about astringent plants is they keep your body healthier by pulling together tissues, which makes it harder for bacteria and virus to penetrate. So that's just one of the actions. And although echinacea is a Native American plant, especially in Germany, they revere this plant and have done a lot of studies on echinacea because it is so effective to support a healthy immune response. And their equivalent of the FDA is German Commission E. And so us herbalists are very grateful that in Germany, their equivalent of the FDA studies plants and their effectiveness as well as drugs. So you can look at these studies and see how echinacea has worked on so many different things. And, so I take it, I drank it all last year and, take it if there's any kind of issues going around just to have a healthy immune response. It makes your white blood cells react, like it puts your body into a defense mode. So it's like calling in the troops. Hey, there's a disease around. You know, come on and respond, body. It's just really great for those types of things. I like it topically too. If I have any, insect that affects my skin adversely. I have, you know, salves with echinacea in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I used it on my dog who got caught in barbed wire very successfully.
We're talking with horticulturist Jane Holly Stevens about at-home herbal remedies and what she's growing on her 130-acre organic farm in North Freedom. Have you tried certain roots, say burdock, turmeric, ginger, another root? What have you used it to treat? What herbs have you found success with as a home remedy? What questions do you have about the medicinal quality of herbs? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Jane after a news update on the Ideas Network. Demand for herbal remedies is growing, especially for chronic pain. We're learning about herbal medicine, which is rooted in indigenous medical practices. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So what intrigues you about herbal pain remedies? Have you used herbs for your skin? Maybe your immune system? Maybe an herbal remedy as you go through menopause? What have you discovered? 800-642-1234. Organic farmer and horticulturist Jane Holly Stevens has a farm and apothecary shop in North Freedom, and she's with us for the hour. Jane, we heard from Cal, who is driving through Wisconsin this morning on their way to Chicago, and Cal wants to ask you if you have any suggestions for herbal remedies to help with sleep.
Well, there are a lot of herbal remedies that help to calm and and, you know, there are just so many great herbs. But I'm going to talk about chamomile right now. And my reference I'm going to cite is Peter Rabbit, Beatrix Potter's cute little book on Peter Rabbit. When he went into Mr. McGregor's garden, you know, he lost his clothes. He got caught in the fence because Mr. McGregor was chasing him. And he came home. He was so upset that anyway, but then his mom was very upset with him because she told him not to go there. So to calm him down, she put him to bed with chamomile tea. And chamomile is a wonderful herb for that situation. In fact, I don't typically have chamomile tea until the evening or bedtime. I also would recommend something like lemon balm. I like to take lemon balm for a healthy, calm response. And then there's, of course, a valerian is the classic. Not everybody can handle valerian. In fact, 10% of the people get agitated from valerian. So funny, but I was weeding out my valerian one day, and I was thinking of a friend who had sleep troubles. And I was weeding out wild lettuce. And this is a weed that grows all over Wisconsin and into my gardens. And I remembered Beatrix Potter again. And there was a story of the Flopsy Bunnies where all the bunnies fell asleep after eating Mr. McGregor's lettuce plants that he took out of his garden. And in fact, that's my best-selling tincture, the one that has the wild lettuce in it, because people get, you know, have a great results from that.
Okay, so I want to pivot here and talk a little bit about ginseng. And you have a story about ginseng, and I was wondering if you could kind of introduce us to it and how you see it.
Well, ginseng goes back has a long history and was always revered in the Far East, in China, in Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this, there's a philosophy or a science called the doctrine of signatures. And what it does is it says that the plant gives you little clues to how it can be used through its looks, smell, where they grow. And really it's about observation. It's about looking closely into nature. But the root of ginseng is shaped like a little person. Sometimes it's like a ballerina or a swimmer, but they're really fun to look at. And in fact, the biggest growers are here in Wausau, Wisconsin, in Marathon County. And so wherever I travel, if in a city, if they have a Chinese Chinatown, I'll always go to Chinatown, and they always have a Wisconsin ginseng like display. And in fact, I had an opportunity to go to China to get our daughter Sylvie, and I saw even Wisconsin ginseng displayed there. It was amazing to see like 15 feet of shelf space dedicated to Wisconsin ginseng across the planet. So people have used it forever to maintain a healthy just response to life. It's typically used with older people, and it's in a class of herbs called adaptogens. And adaptogens are called amphoteric, and they just help your body respond to whatever is going on. Like, it brings you into balance. Like, if your response is one that's more anxious, you know, plants can help bring you more, you know, into balance with that. Or if you're feeling really weakened, plants can help balance you that way as well, that these set of plants called adaptogens. And ginseng falls in that category.
Yeah, and I'm super familiar with it as a tea, but how else might you use it? Maybe in like a cream?
I actually do have it in a face product
called
Golden Crown. But, you know, there's this wonderful recipe by Rosemary Gladstar where she takes like a half a jar of peanut butter, a half a jar of another nut butter, and you mix those up with some honey, and you can put powdered herbs in there and make little like bonbons. And I, you know, it's great to eat. So I put ginseng powder in there, and astragalus powder, maybe hawthorn powder. And and you can make like a paste with these and put them into little balls. They're just delicious.
That opens like up a whole new world, too, when you add the cooking element and the snacks, right?
Right. But really, eating herbs is the most traditional way to take them, with teas being the second most traditional way.
So looking at chronic pain, which affects so many Americans, 100 million adults in our country, what herbs do you look at, when people ask you about chronic pain?
Well, because I'm not a doctor, I can't claim to treat, mitigate, or cure anybody, but I would sure look at herbs that help to move blood. A lot of, two things here are going on. One, you know, topically or even internally, like cayenne pepper, we all know that moves blood. We had talked about St. John's wort before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic for as a topical herb. Let's see, even witch hazel, because it helps to pull the tissues in. It's a classic astringent. I just love that witch hazel has always been on the drugstore shelves from the 1800s till now. I feel like it's the only herb that earns that category. That's one way you can address this, is topically. But as Americans, we never pay attention to our liver. And our liver is like our filter system. And when I teach this subject, I always like to ask people, who here gets their oil filter changed in their car? And everybody just eyes get wide and think, oh my goodness, I take better care of my car. Because if you take bitter herbs, such as I love dandelion. A bitter quality, when you eat a bitter, like even if you would, before dinner, go out and eat a couple dandelion leaves, that's a bitter flavor. And that bitter flavor sends a message to your brain to send a message to your gut to start creating more digestive juices. And it gets your gallbladder more engaged. And those bitter herbs will help your liver function better. And a lot of congestion happens because we don't take care of our liver. And just think, if you never change the oil filter in your car, how would it run? You know, it would get sluggish. It would get congested. So
yeah,
you
might burn out your engine.
Exactly. And by just as simple as including bitters into your life, there's a whole lot of things that you can make a difference with. Just think of the cascade there, as you mentioned.
We're talking with Jane Holly Stevens, organic farmer based in Wisconsin, where she sells organic herbs, markets herbal products. You can join in. What health benefits have you found through herbs? Do you use a special herb to sleep? How beneficial has it been? Do you grow herbs in your garden for medicinal purposes? What have you made with them? Teas, maybe topical creams? Join in, 800-642-1234. Can you explain, Jane, your approach to botanical liniment for like rubbing on the body to relieve pain? What are these warming and toning herbs?
So your question is what are the herbs?
And just your approach to liniment.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, there is so much, topical. Well, you know, people are just starting to hurt, especially as we age, as boomers, as we age, there's just more aches and pains. So I just like to increase circulation because a lot of that pain might be coming from the fact that the blood can't circulate there, you know, mm-hmm. maybe due to inflammation. So a little bit of like a liniment or a oil, something you can rub on there. Part in the action can be actually the rubbing. But herbs that I like would be, like I mentioned, St. John's wort, cayenne, witch hazel, Solomon's seal, the true Solomon's seal, and actually what they consider false Solomon's seal, which I'm trying to convert the name to terminal Solomon's seal. Anyway, that's another one that has a strong affinity for the joints. And even plants with a lot of volatile oils, such as eucalyptus, you know, think of Bengay, thyme, rosemary, all of those just help to keep the blood moving, healthy vein response.
Yeah, you use, I think it's arnica. This is a plant in the daisy family that has these like daisy flowers.
Right. Arnica is wonderful. So arnica is native in the western part of the states, the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And it likes it really dry. So I grow the German chamomile, Arnica chamisonis. Yeah, thank you, Kate. That's the most obvious one. Everyone goes looking for arnica. Yeah, there's so many, but I'm glad you mentioned arnica. Yeah. In fact, I was in a health food store once, and one of the buyers said, Half the people that come in the department are looking for arnica. And so I have now four different products, you know, based on arnica in different formulations. But, arnica is classic for what you're talking about. And it helps relieve all of that.
We have Jane Holly Stevens this hour discussing herbal remedies, how they're used for different ailments. She owns an organic herbal business in North Freedom. Have you sought home remedies to treat ailments before getting a prescription medication from a physician? Which herbs have worked well for you? What questions do you have about herbal wellness? Still time to talk about medicinal herbs, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jane Holly Stevens on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kedar Chirkant. We're exploring herbal traditions and medicine, honoring the wisdom of Native peoples who first understood the healing properties of different plants in North America. Ginseng, as we've been talking about, is a popular herbal medicine around the world. What plant or herb helps you boost your immune function or energy? What questions do you have about growing medicinal plants? Still time, 800-642-1234. Jane Holly Stevens grows herbs on her organic farm in North Freedom and is with us for about 10 more minutes. Marty is joining us from Duluth. Hi, Marty. What is your question?
Hi, good morning. Say, I'm wondering if there is a limit as to how many herbs a person can take in a day if you are using them medicinally. I'm considering doing a particular protocol, and I think there's probably 15 different herbs involved in this.
Hmm. Sure. Well, I appreciate people being cautious when they're looking at herbs because, you know, you need to know what you're doing. But that's one thing great about herbalism is you have to engage your own body and look closely at your body and then get to know the plants to choose which ones are right for you. But classic Chinese medicines are made with probably 15 different herbs. And, you know, so they have herbs that will, you know, do an action, support the action, and then to maybe help move the medicine throughout the body. A lot of people use ginger for that, to help move the herbs throughout your body, get a quicker response. And licorice, too. Licorice helps to, it acts in a way like sugar, that it helps to move your medicine through your body quicker. So you can use a lot of herbs, but you just have to, and there are some contraindications, but once I know my herbs, I blend several in a day. Like I'm looking at my desk right now, and I have a blend with 11 different herbs in one bottle, and then I took, you know, two different ones for mental clarity this morning, and so you can take several herbs, and a lot of times I explain it like how many vegetables do you put in soup?
Hmm.
You know, like you can mix so many safely. And if it's a maker that you trust, you know, I would say go to a reputable company so that you can trust the source. And if it's, you're getting a blend already, if you trust that person. Herbalists, you know, many herbalists train themselves very well because we want to represent nature correctly and very ethically. And I applaud you for what you're doing because really drugs are the third biggest killer in the U.S. I mean, I think they're about the same as COVID. After heart disease and cancer, drugs are the third biggest killer. Mm. So it's really important to, you know, it's just kind of smart. Well, what if a plant could do this? You know, you're probably going to be safer after, because these have been tested for thousands of years.
Marty, how does that sound?
That sounds great, and thanks. I was going to ask about are there herbal combinations that maybe a person should avoid? And it sounds like licorice acts somewhat like caffeine, getting things moving into the system a little quicker. But I really appreciate, thanks for pointing out that TCM does, Chinese medicine practitioners do like to load up those formulas with
right. It's kind of classic. Yeah. Classic in China for sure.
Marty, thanks. Kay is with us from Mukwonago. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I have a question about a rash that I got about a month and a half ago. It's around my neck. Around my neck, it's just red, but it hurts like sunburn, and on my forearms. I'm an older woman in my middle 80s, and I'm outside a lot, and I garden. I'm a master gardener, but I've never gotten this in the summer before, and it itches like heck.
Wow.
So I've been putting, like, I started putting tons of banana boat stuff on it, you know, sunscreen, and now I'm using Noxzema. And I'm interested in herbs, so I wondered if you had any ideas about that.
I think you must have bumped into wild parsnip because that itch lasts for 6 weeks possibly. And so it's like when you have a heat response, like a rash, like your skin is rising up, a cooling thing would be good for that. Think of aloe. Just you have an aloe plant where you could apply that leaf, or comfrey, you know, something that's classic topical that can help soothe. But my experience with what I think you might have, which is bumping into wild parsnip, that just lasts for a while. And you might have to just find something soothing. If I was you, I would probably just go get an aloe plant, something just that would be cooling and soothing for that heat and inflammation situation.
Mm-hmm. Kay, have you tried aloe before?
Yes, I have. It isn't running at all. It isn't like poison ivy or anything. My kids thought maybe I'd gotten into poison ivy because I cut the grass and go into some wild areas in my yard. But there's no wild parsnip, I don't think, in my yard. I've been around it over the years.
Yeah.
But I'll try the aloe anyway. That sounds like something I haven't tried.
Plus, you know, I can't see it, and I'm not a doctor, so,
yeah,
you know, it's hard.
That's why I haven't gone.
Yeah, but it just sounds like a heat situation, so I would look for something cooling.
Kay, thanks. You know, Jane, Kay being a master gardener, if we want to grow herbs and really cultivate them well in our own gardens, can you give us some tips?
Well, I would say go organic would be my very first thing. You know, I just feel for our earth so much as I look at, how many of my neighbors have had cancer and the state of our lakes and waterways. I just think we need to pay attention to the whole ecosystem. So first thing would be to be organic. And then some of the plants, I have my five plants that to grow in the Midwest, and that would be lemon balm, sage, salvia officinalis is sage, and salvia means to heal, and officinalis, as I mentioned earlier, means the official healing plant. So that's a powerhouse Latin name, the official healing plant. we talked about chamomile and how that can be, good for later in the day, or if you're having a harsh day and you want to just handle yourself in a calmer manner. I like holy basil is a really nice one. That's this tulsi. It comes from India. It's traditional in India, and it's drank as a tea every day, or you can eat a leaf every day. It smells divine, and so I really love that one. Calendula. That's a classic topical herb. I think Kay would appreciate calendula as well.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, Jane, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's my favorite thing is to grow herbs, and then my other favorite thing is to connect people back to nature through these plants. And I really appreciate you for having this program and for all of those who tuned in who want to learn about those connections. I mean, nature gave us food, materials for shelter. Of course, medicine is growing all around us. So I really appreciate this opportunity to help make that connection.
Jane Holly Stevens owns Four Elements Organic Herbals, a farm and apothecary in North Freedom. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.